Many of you would know our guest Kay Kerr from the Caboolture Physical Therapy Centre. Welcome again to 101.5 Studio. You always share great information on managing different conditions, Kay. So with Lymphedema Awareness Week just around the corner in early March, we wanted to have a little chat with you about the different ways to treat and manage the condition. So where would we like to start, Kay? Will we start with what is lymphedema?
Well, Rosemary, lymphedema is a chronic, progressive and permanent swelling. I guess it's got to have all of those three elements. But it can occur in pretty much any part of the body, but most commonly in the upper limb or the lower limbs. Okay, yeah, it's really more than just a physical condition. It can also be quite debilitating and lead to more emotional, psychological issues as well. And it has lots of comorbidities. You know, people with lymphedema often can develop a lot of other issues because of their, you know, lack of ability to move well and things like that.
Yeah, that sort of raises the question then, who would get it? Who would get lymphedema?
A lot of people think of lymphedema, when they first think of it, they tend to think of people who have had cancer. So certainly after having breast cancer and particularly breast cancer surgery where lymph nodes are removed, there is a tendency to develop lymphedema.
Okay.
However, it's certainly not limited to that. You know, all types of cancer, melanomas, gynecological, prostate cancer, all things like that can certainly be a part of it, but also cellulitis or infected swelling in a limb, trauma after burns or fractures, chronic healing, things like that, anything that affects the venous system and stops blood flow back to the heart. Also, you more tend to get it if you have a family history of it. Rosemary, the two things that we know are almost always evidence-based causes are being overweight or having low levels of activity. Hate to say those two things, but we blame them on it. We blame everything on that, don't we?
We do.
But they certainly are the most evidence for those two things.
Wow. And Kay, how is it diagnosed, or is it easily diagnosed?
Doctors, you know, people that have lymphedema or that potentially have lymphedema often complain about a whole lot of different symptoms. You know, they might just initially feel a bit of heaviness in their limbs, in their arms or their legs, where the lymphedema is starting. They might feel different sensations, say some pins and needles or warmth, extra warmth, or they might have a bit of pain by the end of the day. They nearly always will complain of a feeling of pressure in the limbs, so a bit of extra swelling, or maybe their clothes are fitting a bit too tight. So that's probably what'll take them off to the doctor.
Yeah.
But the doctor's first going to check for other things. So lots of other things can cause swelling in limbs, of course, you know, heart problems, kidney problems. So blood tests will come in first probably, and then maybe a look at the venous system through ultrasounds of the limbs.
For the uneducated in regards to this venous system. Tell us just a little bit about that, okay?
Okay, well, our heart, you know, pumps blood out through our arteries and the veins collect blood and move it back through to our heart again to be, you know, get that whole circle going again.
Right.
The venous system can be under pressure in some people where fluid leaks out into the lymphatic system and it's drained back through the lymphatic system.
Okay.
So, and like I say, there are lots of causes for doing that. It can be genetic or it could be, you know, a result of problems associated with the venous system.
Okay. So that venous system is pretty important.
It is pretty important, just as that lymphatic system is. It is another system that's often ignored until something goes wrong.
You don't hear about it a lot, do you? And listen, you know, what are the symptoms. And you've mentioned quite a thing, the heaviness and the aching. Give us a few more of that.
Oh, a few more. Often we recognise it when people come in for physiotherapy. We'll see that perhaps they've had an injury for a long term, or they've got an injury that they just can't put their finger on why it's there. Everything seems to be moving well, but this limb remains swollen. Often, they're complaining of pressure or pain or tingling and it really becomes a thing of exclusion and then, looking at the type of swelling they've got in the limb and, following through with those tests that I was talking about.
Kay, is it fairly normal that a person would get swelling toward the end of the day and then after they've rested and they wake in the morning, there's no swelling there? Would that be a fairly typical sort of thing?
It certainly is. Our venous system is dependent on gravity.
Yes.
So at the end, our arms and our legs hang down. And yes, by the end of the day, if that venous system is not pumping everything back up and the fluid is leaking out and then being drained back in, unable to be drained back into an effective lymphatic system, then we are going to, feel that by the end of the day.
Yeah.
And of course, edema, everyone's, used to hearing about what to do with a sports injury.
Yes.
You do your RICE treatment or RICE treatment, rest, ice, elevation.
Yes.
Perhaps not so much ice with this, but elevation, and perhaps not so much rest even, but elevation certainly can help drain fluid.
Okay.
Yeah.
And might you think about, the rest and elevation and those things, but could exercise then be one of those good things that get that blood moving again?
Yeah, Rosemary, exercise is probably one of the really important parts. There's lots of things that we can do for management of lymphedema.
Yeah.
Exercise is certainly one of them. And the evidence is changing over time for evidence, but we know that there is a benefit. We know just from seeing people exercise and their self-reporting, but the research now, I guess, is starting to really hone down on what sort of exercise and how often and all that sort of thing.
It wouldn't be the exercise that we normally think about. It'd be something that's specifically designed for you.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah.
There are some limitations on exercise that we do for it, but, like most of our chronic conditions, exercise in itself is important.
Is a good one. And, I was going to say, what are some of the treatment options? And, of course, exercise would be there. So run through some of those other options, Kay.
A lot of the options in treatment are fairly practical, really.
Yeah.
They're not so much medical. We don't have a whole lot of medical treatments for lymphedema. One of the ones that people have probably heard of quite a bit is manual lymphatic massage, or they call it MLD for short. It's a type of massage therapy that is done for the lymphatic system itself to help drain that lymphatic system and get it functioning better overall. It's just helping to take that fluid out of the tissues and drain it back through the lymph nodes and back in to be absorbed back into the system and eliminated through the body.
Okay,
so that's the first one.
Yeah.
I'll give you a little list.
Please
first,
do.
Rosemary.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Scar tissue massage. I mean, I'd list that as one of them because particularly for breast cancer, our breast cancer surgery sufferers would would know that the effects of scar tissue, we can often end up with cording that restricts range of movement, or scar tissue itself that actually is quite deep and can stop the flow of lymph under the scar tissue. And of course, you know, they may have had lymph nodes removed. So scar tissue is a really important thing to mobilise as part of the management with massage, and also with physiotherapy, because we'd also then be looking at the range of movement in limbs. So, you know, maintaining range of movement where there's excess fluid can be tricky.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and that's where probably exercise guidelines start to come in, because, you know, we've got to decide what's good. What's good enough, what's not enough.
Okay.
And, yeah. And then, of course, compression garments. Compression garments are a really important part of lymphedema. You know, if we can't have a muscle pumping our fluid up to our heart, then we might need a bit of extra support for it. And that's where really good fitting compression garments come in, and they
almost made especially for you in situations.
Very much so. They need to be very much tailored to the shape of an individual's leg or arm to be effective. And sometimes body. I have patients who are wearing the body ones as well after things like surgery.
Oh, goodness me. And there's a whole lot of
other little things,
Kay. Come on, you've got some noted here, so tell us about them as well.
I did list a few others.
Good on you.
Look, you know, a lot of the research in lymphedema is still at early stages because, you know, not everyone receiving these extra therapies has the same condition or is the same age, the same background, the same symptoms even. So it's very hard to do, you know, really good research on a lot of things. So low-level research for things like sequential intermittent pump therapy, low-level laser or deep oscillation therapy device, another one, and even for acupuncture, which has some benefits but some contraindications as well.
Right, and breathing exercises, I believe, is one fairly important one as well, Kay. I mean, we just take breathing for granted, don't we?
We do, but it's a bit like the Chinese thing: the qi leads the qi leads the blood leads the qi. It's all that circular system, isn't it? So, our oxygen travels through our veins with our hemoglobin, but also it is stimulated by our breathing. So, of course, we're going to get that venous return coming, you know, back to oxygenate our blood better if we are breathing. Breathing better. It also helps to stimulate the action of blood vessels, you know, by a positive pressure. So many benefits to breathing, and as well as that, it just makes us feel good. It calms us down and facilitates our sympathetic nervous system, which makes us feel good and calm and warms us up and gets the blood flowing again. So lots of benefits.
So many things. Now tell us a little bit more about exercise for people suffering from lymphedema and how we can probably help ourselves not get into that situation, Kay.
Yeah, look, you know, while I was researching this, the benefits of exercise for lymphedema, I thought I'll go back over the research, because a lot of the research is quite old, really, you know, that there was a stage in the maybe early 2000s to 2010 sort of era where there was a lot of research done, but on very little trials, you know, so everyone was finding something different and there was a lot of disagreement. And, you know, some were saying to exercise early after breast cancer, say, others were saying to exercise late, some were saying it was too much, some were saying to wear compression garments, whatever. So I did in preparing this, I did go back and see what the most recent evidence was showing. And there have been a couple of good studies done just lately, and I think they're getting done now because computers are so advanced now, aren't they? You know, they weren't back then. Yeah. So we can do these what we call big umbrella studies. Systematic reviews and meta-analysis reviews done all at once. A big umbrella review was recently done. It was conducted in 2025 by a Spanish group of researchers. And they looked at, I think, over 10 countries around the world. They looked at, I think it was over 60, I think it was 64 research groups from all these different countries who were all experts in lymphedema and put together all of the research up to that point. Now, they've come up with some guidelines. So that's probably the most recent guidelines that I could find.
Wow.
And what they were trying to do was define the type of exercise that we should be, recommending for lymphedema sufferers. And they looked at the frequency, the intensity, the type, and the timing of exercise. So that's probably, if I want to be specific, I'll give you a couple of indications of this.
Okay, just one or two, okay, would be great.
Yeah, sure.
Thank you.
So the frequency of exercise, they're saying that we probably need it 2 to 3 times a week.
Yeah.
If it's resistance training, and probably 2 to 5 times a week for aerobic training. Now, a resistance training should be around 40 minutes or so of resisted exercise twice a week. But they're also saying that we could do it in short sessions, and really 3 to 6 minutes is enough.
Yes,
and
I think that sounds nice to my ears. Rather than just this morning,
I gave that to a patient with lymphedema who had other problems, and they often have comorbidities, so it's hard to do 40 minutes at a time.
Yes.
And it might be just some calf raises and some squats for maybe three minutes at a time, you know. But you're going to have to repeat that 4 or 5 times a day to get up to those limits.
Yeah.
The intensity, well, it probably, you know, 2 to 3 sets of 10 if you're doing a resistance training exercise. And if it's aerobic, they say on the Borg scale of 11 to 14. So that's like a moderate to hard exercise,
okay,
but not enough to cause pain at all. But, you know, hard
mild
work.
Mild discomfort perhaps, but no pain.
That's more like it, yeah, mm-hmm. yeah. You know, different types of exercise that you can do. So bands, free weights, all of that makes up resistance training. And there is quite a bit of evidence for resistance training because it does improve the lymphatic flow or the flow or the fluid transfer just below the surface of the skin. You know, and they suggest walking or cycling. But, you know, a lot of smaller articles that I've read, you know, even look at sport, for instance, and say, well, there's not really restrictions in the type of sport, and we might think you can't do contact sport. They're not too worried about contact sport in the research, but what they are worried about is injury through contact sports. So,
absolutely.
You know, it's really trying to avoid those things that might cause open cuts and sores, because people with lymphedema are a lot more prone to infection.
Oh, righto. Okay. So you've got to be a bit careful there. But still, as much as we said just a little while ago, the exercise should be slightly uncomfortable, but certainly no pain. So, you know,
no.
And you know yourself, don't you? You just know when you're getting to that point where, oh, I think this is a little bit too much for my body.
Yes. Yeah. And I think a lot of people with chronic health issues, they become experts in their own body after a while.
Yes.
They start to understand it better, and, you know, they can almost guide themselves on how much they need at any one time. But, I love listening to my patients.
Yes.
You learn so much from them. So,
there you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, are there any recommendations, Kay, for wearing your compression garments while exercising? Is that something that you would do?
Yeah, those same guidelines say that we probably should be wearing our garments with all exercise. So it's either or, but they say the ideal is wear your garments while exercising. Or if you can't, then, and people can't for, various different reasons. It might affect their sport performance. You know, maybe they're in a throwing sport and they can't, and it's going to restrict their range of movement to do javelin or something like that. So the recommendation then becomes, well, wear whatever off-the-shelf type compression you can, and it might be, Kmart, tights or something like that, or preferably something with a little more support, but maybe off a commercial, commercial line of compression, skins or something. Or if you can't wear anything at all, then that's what you've got to do, and you've still got the benefit of exercise.
Okay, we're coming up to Lymphedema Week in early March. Where can we get some help for this? If we didn't know about it or weren't involved in any shape or form with a partner or yourself, where do we go about to find out a little bit more about this? Because it's pretty important.
It is important. And once again, research shows that it's really important to get early intervention. Mm. Early intervention helps for a better outcome in the long term. So if you're starting to notice it, it may be that you're kind of getting ignored a little in the health system, and you've got to sort of seek out a little bit yourself. Yeah. So go and talk to your doctor about it would be the first way to start, because sometimes it can be an indicator of underlying conditions, like I say, heart or lung. They need to do a few tests to rule things out first. But there are... lymphedema training is quite specific, really. So there are lymphedema therapists around who might be massage therapists, they might be physiotherapists, they might be occupational therapists, but they have some sort of specific training in lymphedema. In our practice, we have... physiotherapists who generally work in women's health in our practice as well, who deal with lymphedema. And, I myself did training in lymphedema. And we have a specialist massage therapist who has specific training a specialist lymphedema therapist. Yeah. They're often hard to find because they're often in the hospital system itself. Yeah. So there are big clinics in the hospitals. When we get out to the regions, it's, without going into Brisbane somewhere, it's kind of hard to. So you've got to seek them out. But if you're Googling, look for a lymphedema specialist therapist.
And you could start off with your physiotherapist. I mean, if they themselves don't do it, they could certainly push you in the right direction.
Yes, all physiotherapists are trained to look for it and hopefully identify it and then refer you on to your doctor. They might not be all specialists in it, but they're certainly trained to identify.
Absolutely. And I'm thinking on so many occasions we trundle off to our GP, and whether that person is clicked on to this sort of thing, and sometimes they can miss it, Kay. Your physiotherapist is really the person that you should hang out a bit, really, shouldn't you?
Yeah, physiotherapists are tending to look quite holistically at this. Yes. So if something is restricting movement, if there's no obvious cause for it, your brain sort of gets into the secondary problems that might happen. And, and that would have been one of our exclusion criteria that we'd probably, go searching
for. We'd be heading towards.
Yeah.
Kay, I'm delighted that you're talking to us about all of this, because it's not something that's talked about very often, and yet it's such an important thing.
It is so important, and it's so prevalent, and probably a lot more prevalent than we take for granted. Like I say, we're looking for it in those people with breast cancer or something like that.
Yes.
But
yes.
in the normal community, it's actually very prevalent. You know, it's diagnosed as being chronic, as in over 6 months worth of swelling. You know, we used to only look for those major ones, but now we're sort of starting to identify them a lot earlier, and hopefully that early intervention is going to have a much better outcome for them.
Absolutely. Look, Kay, there's some pretty helpful information there, and it's a chronic condition, so consistency and daily management are the key, and of course regular visits to your physio, which I've just said a minute ago. Kay Kerr, Caboolture Physical Therapy Centre, thank you for joining us here on 101.5, and where we try to give the very best local information to keep our community connected and informed. Why not check out the podcast, also with Nerida Smith, OAM, from the Caboolture Support Group of Lymphedema, and you'll get even more information there. That's on 101.5fm.com.au. Click on podcast. Thank you, Kay.
Thank you, Rosemary.